Well, today we're going to be looking at the readings for the sixth Sunday of Easter. Before we start, we're going to have that first part, which is on Verbum Domini, and quite important, it's the it's number 59, which is on the importance of the homily. And you may notice how many institutes are being raised up this summer to implement Verbum Domini. I personally know of three or four, which is a very good thing. One of the things we have in the Roman Catholic Church, neglected for a long time, is the crucial area of the homily. When the homily is weak, people are not ready for the Eucharist. That's why the Eucharist is not producing the fruit that it should in people's lives. You know, the gift of the Eucharist is the gift of chastity. Well, Catholics are not noticeably more chaste than everybody else. And they have the same abortion, not the same, but they do abortions. They have contraception there. We're going to look at this section now. Each member of the people of God has different duties and responsibilities with respect to the Word of God. Accordingly, the faithful listen to God's Word and meditate on it. But those who have the office of teaching by virtue of sacred ordination have been entrusted with exercising that ministry, namely bishops, priests, and deacons, expound the Word of God. Now, this is a great responsibility. It doesn't mean that those who expound are necessarily holier than those who listen. Think of all the thousands and thousands of saints who are not ordained. As I was reading that, I was thinking of Saint Therese in her Carmel, listening to the priest, whatever he's saying, and having it go much deeper in her spirit than it was in his. But that function is essential. And if it's not done in the Lord, the church is impoverished. And I think a lot of the dogmatic and moral confusion we see in the church is because the Word of God has not been clear. And of course, that's the main reason why Pope Benedict called this synod on the Verbum Domini. Okay. We're going on now. Hence, we can understand the attention paid to the homily throughout the synod. In the apostolic exhortation, Sacramentum Caritatis, I pointed out that, quote, given the importance of the Word of God, the qualities of homilies needs to be improved. A homily is part of the liturgical action and is meant to foster a deeper understanding of the Word of God so that it can bear fruit in the lives of the faithful. That's a quote from Sacramentum Caritatis. I think this is quite authentic. Many years ago, Bishop Ratzinger, probably still back in teaching, or at least in his diocese, said, one of the signs of the divine origin of the Church is that it survives millions of bad sermons every year. Well, it's time to change that for the sake of the people of God and for the sake of the preacher himself. And unpack the Word, which we can't do. I can't unpack my suitcase if it's empty. And so that's the importance of this paragraph, this number 59. That's why there are so many institutes beginning this summer, including one that I'm going to be putting on, for preaching the Word. Okay. The homily is part of the liturgical action and is meant to foster a deeper understanding of the Word of God so that it can bear fruit in the lives of the faithful. That also is a part of that same encyclical. Why? See, the homily is not an addition. It's part of the liturgy. And therefore, that's, as I pointed out before, why it has to be done by somebody who has the priestly ordination, bishop, priest, and in another way, deacon. Because at the consecration, I say, this is my body. That's Christ in me. Through that character, which is an ontological and psychological bond with Jesus Christ. When I preach, it's the same Christ in this, coming from the same place. And that's why, earlier, in number 56, the Pope said, and I've quoted it 100 times already, that there's an analogy between the presence of Christ in the bread and wine after consecration and the presence of Christ in the word preached. It's that important, and people are coming awake to that just on time. Well, a little late, but anyway, it's going to happen. A homily is a means of bringing the scriptural message to life in a way that helps the faithful to realize that God's work is present and at work in their everyday lives. The power of the word. You see, if the priest reads the gospel and then talks about his hunting trip, you see, it's incomplete. The word of God has been read as the bread. Now it has to be broken and distributed. And that's the role of the preaching. The fathers of the church, many, I can't tell you exactly how many now, Origen, Chrysostom, I don't remember now by memory, though I did a study of this once. When they talk about the chlasmata, the fragments after the multiplication of the loaves, huh? The Lord says, go pick up the chlasmata, the fragments. And it comes to 12 baskets the first time, 7 baskets the second time. Fathers of the church, many say, those chlasmata, those fragments that are there, that is the word of God, kept to be broken until the end of time for the sake of the faithful. Okay. This homily should lead to an understanding of the mystery being celebrated, serve as a summons to mission, and prepare the assembly for the profession of faith, the universal prayer, and the Eucharistic liturgy. Consequently, those who have been charged with preaching by virtue of a specific ministry ought to take this task to heart. Really, take it to heart. Generic and abstract homilies which obscure the directness of God's word should be avoided, as well as useless digressions which risk drawing greater attention to the preacher than to the heart of the gospel message. Occupational hazard. You have to watch it. The faithful should be able to perceive clearly that the preacher has a compelling desire to present Christ, who must stand at the center of every homily. For this reason, preachers need to be in close and constant contact with the sacred text. Every day. Not just getting a homily ready, having the Bible, the Word of God, the food we eat. I've been working at that now for, what's number 20, 60 some odd years. And I'm so grateful now that the Word of God is that familiar to me by the mercy of God. Okay. They should prepare for the homily by meditation and prayer so as to preach with conviction and passion. The Synodal Assembly asked that the following questions be kept in mind. What are the scriptures being proclaimed? What do they say to me personally? What should I say to the community in the light of its concrete situation? The preacher, in another quote now, should be the first to hear the word of God which he proclaims. Since, as St. Augustine says, he is undoubtedly barren who preaches outwardly the word of God without hearing it inwardly. That's important, you know, to take the time. And more, I can see that this Holy Spirit is removing priests There are some priests that start 10 days before they have to preach to get it ready. A little bit every day, and then, you know, they start the Wednesday, not of the week they're going to preach, but the Wednesday of the next week. And they start now, so they have 10 days to work at that homily. And that's not rare. I was just so edified when I was getting ready to do this work, and I asked some of the priests, how do you do it? And they say, this is the way I do it. I start on Wednesday morning, and I read over the text, and I pray about them, and I start looking at commentaries, and that's beautiful. And the Lord will bless that. A homily for Sundays and solemnities should be prepared carefully, without neglecting, whenever possible, to offer at weekday masses, cum populo, when there's people there, brief and timely reflections which can help the faithful to welcome the word which was proclaimed and let it bear fruit in their lives. When the faithful begin to realize that we're going to go through the Gospel of Mark, then, or Matthew, you see, and that the preacher can make connections for them between the reading from Matthew, which we have, you see, it's very, very helpful. Just in my own situation, I preach every day, and I'm the only preacher around. So by now, they've heard me on every darn one of the lectionary. So this year, I'm doing the Psalms, because I've done the first reading 100 times and the Gospel, well, not 100, we've done several. And so for the sake of the people who are mostly the same every morning, I'm going through the Psalms and doing the Psalms every day. And it's proved very fruitful for them and for me. And it's a grace. It's a grace. I would really think that the one who profits most by an earnest preparation of the homily is the priest himself. And so, are there some homily hints? Yes. I do one myself. What we're doing right now. There's the Catholic Commentary on Scripture series, I think it's called. They're short, they're good, they're clear, and they're coming out. Mark is out, Matthew is out, and they're very helpful. And they're quick. I mean, you can get some really good basic insights and information in 2-3 pages, and then start to pray and ask the Holy Spirit what you should preach today to these people who are going to be there, and listen, while you're preaching. Because all of a sudden you'll know you're supposed to say such and such. And it will happen. But that such and such, which the Lord put in your heart, you will hear about, maybe in confession or something. When you said such and such, it touched my heart, and I realized I've never confessed this sin. Or I have a terrible time relating to my wife or husband, and it's my fault. The word of God in power, and all we're doing is obeying. Amen.